Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Glory. Well, you can be seated. Amen. You look good doing that, Barry.
Well, that's 25 years.
Amen. Praise God. So, well, I wish my children would do that. Well, get on your faith. Praise God. God's no respecter of persons. He'll make all grace abound towards your family. Oh, Brother Copeland, it's just too late in our family. Only if you say so. Only if you say so. But when you begin to say, thank God my family's all serving God, all walking by faith, hallelujah, amen, you'll start getting phone calls. Daddy, can I come home? I got saved last night. I want to come tell you about it. Amen. I'll tell you that it's a thrill and it's a good thing. Praise God. And I don't care if they're in jail someplace or what's going on. If you'll learn how to pray according to the Word of God and stop praying, oh, God, save my sorry, no good son. Oh, God, how did that ever happen to me? That's not prayer. That's just griping. But when you go to the Word of God and it says, pray the Lord of the harvest, send laborers across their paths. Amen. And you begin to pray that, God, you know who my boy will listen to? I call him saved. I call him filled with the Holy Ghost. I call him alive to God. Now, you know who he'll listen to? Send somebody across his path with the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to get a phone call. I know. I've been there on both sides of the fence. I mean, my mama prayed for me for years and years and years and years. She didn't know the things like we've been talking about on living and walking by faith. And one day, she just threw her Bible down on the kitchen table. She said, God, I've prayed for him for the last time. If he goes to hell, it's your fault, not mine. I have prayed in the name of Jesus and threw her Bible down. I got saved in 3 weeks. Amen. Gloria got saved in 2. Amen. And who do you think the first one we called? Got to call Mama. Mama! Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Father, we thank you for our families. We thank you for the Word. Tonight, there's something very, very special about what the Lord has instructed me to share and to preach and to deliver to you tonight in this message. The Lord put it together for me, and over a period of years and a period of time, I've preached on different parts of it in different ways, and particularly in talking about the blessing and talking about the love of God and so forth. But tonight, the word of the Lord came to me concerning this. And it has been just alive in my spirit all afternoon. All the way over here to the auditorium tonight. It's just this. The excitement of God. That's the reason I just. Hallelujah. And you're going to be the same way in a few minutes. I'm so thrilled from what I've seen from the Word today. And I'm so thrilled that the Lord's going to let me share it with you tonight. I was just really believing that He would. And sure enough, praise the Lord. Now, open your Bibles with me, please, to 1 John. And let's read here in the fourth chapter, 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Yes, sir, I'll do that. I want to read you a word here from the first chapter. You go ahead and look up that fourth chapter of 1 John, but I want you to see this. I want you to see how the Apostle John, by the Holy Spirit, started this book. He said, "For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus the Anointed One." Now look at that fourth verse. "These things write we unto you, that your joy might be full." Hallelujah. "That your joy might be full." Praise God. Amen. Now, I don't like it up here. I got to get down here. Praise the Lord. Amen. "That your joy might be full." And you remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is a heavenly product. Joy was born into your spirit when you were born again. And far too many Christian people are sad, weary, down, out, burned out, burned up. Amen. When all the time there's something down on the inside of your spirit called the joy of the Lord. And joy is not dependent on your comfort. It's not dependent on the happiness of your flesh. It's not dependent on anything except love and the Word and the power of the love of God. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be filled with joy by faith. You can just start out just by saying, "The Word of God says I'm full of joy, and bless God, I'm going to be full of joy, whether you like it or not." You understand?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And you just keep moving like that, and here it'll come. Not only that, God will begin to reveal to you the force of His joy. And that little book right there says He wrote this so your joy could be full. Amen.
Amen.
I had to get it by faith. I didn't have any joy in me. I was mad at the whole world when I got saved. And I got saved, and then I was just mad at some of the world. But I was still upset. I was in the habit of being mad. I'd been mad since I was a little boy. My daddy used to say, "I wonder what in the world made that kid so mad." Well, I look back on it now and I can tell you, well, other than the devil himself, because he got into my life really, really young. But I didn't sleep. And sleep deprivation causes all kinds of strange and weird and mental junk. And it causes you to look at the world, you know, sideways all the time. And that, though, my folks were faithful to put me to bed. They put me to bed at 9 o'clock every night, which meant I had to lay there till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. They wouldn't let me get up. So I had to I took the radios apart. I did. And mother got where she would not leave anything in my room. Because I would sneak out. I would sneak, you know, the table knives and stuff into my room and use them as screwdrivers, man, to take stuff apart. I got into a radio one night in there. It was a little bedside radio. And I got that radio apart, and I thought, if I don't get this back together before daylight, I am in big trouble here. They're going to know I hadn't slept a wink. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't get the thing back together. I was good at taking them apart, but I couldn't put them back together. And I thought, I'm dead. Mama is going to skin me. She comes in here and finds this radio. So I stuffed that stuff under the bed, man. Underneath my bed looked like a salvage yard. And our ceiling, we had wallpaper, you know, in those days. And the ceiling had wallpaper, ceiling paper on the ceiling. And it had all these little squigglies in it. And I lay there at night.
Oh, my God.
And I got to where I'd see all kinds of strange things. Say, what was the matter with you? I don't know. But Dad had come in and wake me up at 6. I hadn't been to bed over an hour and a half. And I got up every morning. I wasn't sleeping. I did that until I was past 40 years old when I found out how to sleep by faith. I had all kinds of weird and strange things. And the funny part of it is, I got to where I'd see all these characters in the squeegees on the ceiling, and I'm still that way. I can walk into a room, and I see all kinds of things, man. I mean, in wallpaper, and people that have granite tabletops. You'd be surprised how many cats and dogs are in that granite rock. Praise the Lord, because they got all those little dots in there, you know. And you can find poodles. There's cats, dogs, snakes, everything you think of it. And it's not because I'm weird. I just practiced so long that I can't look at it without seeing this stuff, man. And I finally found the 127th Psalm that says he gives his beloved sleep, and it is vain to get up early in the morning, stay awake at night, feeding on the bread of sorrow. I had to learn to do that by faith. Sleep. I can sleep. Ooh, when I found out how wonderful it was to get a good night's sleep, I thought, where has this been? I should have been doing this all my life. Amen. It is a wonderful thing. I can just lay down and say, thank you very much, Father. I received my sleep gift tonight. The Word says you never slumber. Ain't no use both of us being awake. Good night. And just roll over there and go back to sleep. Do what Jesse said. Roll all your care over on the Lord. And he'll say, thank you, Kenneth. I'll take care of it. And so, and when Jesus said, I'll take care of it, well, that means that fixed that, didn't it?
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Say it, in the name of Jesus, I receive my joy tonight.
It's in me now.
I stir it up.
In
Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Here we go. Let's look in this fourth chapter. Notice the seventh verse. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Read it out loud. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Oh my. That we might live through Him. We're not supposed to be living by our own wits. I got so excited about the grace of God abounding towards us. Did you earn your salvation?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Did you earn the infilling of the Holy Ghost?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Did you earn your healing?
No.
How'd you get it? By grace. Whatever made you think He's going to have to earn your money?
Yes. That's excellent. That's excellent.
Thank you, Jesus.
How are you supposed to get it? By grace. It didn't say you quit working.
That's right.
No.
Come on.
Lazy bones.
Yeah, tell me.
No. He ain't saying them out quit working. He said, he that stole, let him steal no more. But let him work with his hands that which is good, in order that he may have to give to him that needs. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We're supposed to be living through Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is going to get, this is, whoa. I can't wait till we get over here in this part. Praise God. Yeah, I can, because we got to get there one step at a time. Now then, say it again. God is love.
God is love.
He doesn't have love.
He is love.
He that loves is born of love. No, Brother Copeland said he's born of God. I know that's what I said. He's born of love. Born of love.
Yes.
All right, are you with me here now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, now notice this. In the fourth chapter here, in the 15th verse, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love. The Son of love. For love so loved the world that He gave the Son of love so that anybody that will believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He so loved the world. He so loved that He gave the best He had. Now, go back here and look at that 15th verse again. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of love, love dwells in Him and He in love. Now, in order to make this as clear as we possibly can, so that we can lock into it, not only with our hearts, with our spirit, but we can lock into it with our minds, because we are going for a mind renewal tonight. The renewing of your mind will cause you to be able to approve the perfect will of God in your life. Hallelujah. It will transform you. So we're going for a mind renewing tonight in this area of joy and in the area of God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. Amen. All right, now stay with me. To clear this up for us, let's look at this like this, and we'll use this phraseology as we go through the Word tonight in the search of this. Let's look again in that 15th verse. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of the love of God. Now that really, I don't know, in my thinking, that just really grabs hold of my mind. The love of God dwells in Him, and He in the love of God. And we have known and believed the love that the love of God has towards us. God is love, and he that dwells in the love of God dwelleth in God who is love. Is it helping you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Stay with me now. Herein is the love of God perfected in us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is in the love of God, so are we in the love of God, and the love of God in us. Hallelujah. Now that's enough shout about right there. Ah, but we ain't there yet. We're working on something. Now stay with me now. Praise. We're going somewhere here. Amen. Excuse me. Now then, in the 18th verse, there is no fear in God. Well, now, ain't that big news? Of course not. No fear in God. There is no fear in the love of God. Well, even that, I mean, that's that's just not anything new. We knew that all along. There is no fear in the love of God, and perfected, developed, growing, active love of God casts out fear. It does not manage it. It does not cover it over. It casts it out. Why? Fear has torment. What is the torment that comes from fear? Being frightened? Ah, being frightened. And I said this before, I'm going to say it to you again. Most Christian people have the mistaken idea that fear is only there when you're frightened. If fear wasn't there, you wouldn't have gotten frightened. Are you listening to me now? Now you got to get a hold of this. Because fear is sin. Now I ain't got time to play church with you tonight. Amen. You can go to the Word of God yourself, look it up in your concordance, and go read all the scriptures on it. 110 times it said, fear not. And you decide that you can take it or leave it and go ahead and fear anyway. That's what Adam thought. You can't eat that and live. The Word of God said in Hebrews 2:14 and 15 that Jesus went to the cross in order to...
Come on.
To do what? Do you remember what it says? Hebrews 2:14 and 15? It says he partook of flesh and blood in order to paralyze him that had the power of death. Said he had the power of death.
Yes.
And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And then the 8th chapter of Romans said, we have not received the spirit of fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, I have a father, I have a daddy, and he loves me as much as he does Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You mean God loves me as much as he does Jesus? Brother Copeland, I just can't believe that. Well, you ought to read the Bible. Amen. Jesus said that, and he said it in prayer. Amen. My goodness, if there's ever a time you didn't want to lie, it'd be while you're praying. Well, there's no way in the world Jesus ever told anything that wasn't true. He said, I am the truth. Praise God. And in his prayer in the 17th chapter of John, moments before he went to the cross, he's praying to the Father and he's asking the Father to reveal not only to those on his staff, not only those 12 men that were around him, because the 20th verse said, Father, I pray not only for these, but also for them who shall believe on me through their word. Well, either directly or indirectly, all of us have believed because of the word of those men that were present that day. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, reveal to them, them who? All of them that ever believe on me through the word.
Amen.
Reveal and let the world know that you love them as much as you do me. The world is supposed to know that God loves us as much as he does Jesus, and that it is available to you. I don't care where you've been or what you've done. It's not based on what you did. It's based on what Jesus did. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. He so loved the world. He so loved the world. Hallelujah. Now, there is no fear in the love of God. Perfected love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. Torment is when you read something in the Word, or when you hear someone testify, I got my healing last night, glory to God. I tell you, Jesus is so wonderful. And you're standing there with that goofy looking smile on your face saying, oh yes, amen, hallelujah. I'm so thrilled for you. And on the inside you're thinking, wonder why in the world God healed that skunk and he won't heal me. He won't heal you? No, he won't heal me. I have talked and I've begged, I've prayed till I'm blue in the face, and he just won't heal me. That's torment.
That's
right. I tell you, that's torment.
That's right.
And it comes from fear's influence over your mind, and fear is there. And perfected love will cast it out.
That's right.
Fear can be managed. Fear can in management can be pushed to a higher level so that you don't freeze up in fear as quick as you used to, but it's still there. Only the love of God will get it rid of it and cast it out. You can't get it out any other way. And you do that through repentance, and that's the reason the book of 1 John started out in the first chapter to tell you how to repent by faith. That Jesus is faithful and he is just to forgive us our violation of the commandment of love when we confess it. Not only forgive you, but cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Fear is unrighteous.
That's right.
Fear don't belong in the life of a believer.
That's right.
And if you will repent and do it by faith,
right,
well, I sure hope I feel better. You ain't even close. That's not faith, that's feeling.
Yeah.
Well, I sure hope so. Well, that's not faith, that's hope. Well, I just know one of these days he's going to heal me. Well, that's hope too. That's not faith. Faith says, well, the Word said it, I believe it, and it doesn't make any difference how I feel about it. He's faithful and he's just. And say he's faithful and just to change your feelings. Said he's faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and forgive you.
Amen.
The moment you do it by faith, and you tell your flesh, now flesh, you shut up. We are forgiven. My Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, he loves me. My Father loves me. He loves me as much as he does Jesus. Praise God. He sent Jesus to the cross to get me. I must be worth something here. Glory to God. Now, if you've ever violated the commandment of love, fear is there. Without repenting of it, fear is there. So just deal with it. It goes ahead to say, he that fears is not perfected in love. Well, don't get your feelings hurt on account of it. That's a sign, just like a red light on your dashboard. that thing starts blinking, do something. Don't just sit there and look at it. I mean, that thing's telling you this car's about to break and you better get off the freeway now.
Well, I don't know why my car does that. It's always had that little red light that just goes on and it looked like it'd have fixed that before I drove it away from the dealership.
Now, that sounds silly and foolish. Well, how much more silly and how much more foolish is it to be, well, I guess that repentance just didn't work for me. I mean, I'm just as tormented today as I was yesterday. Well, I guess Jesus lied about it. Well, I don't guess we need that. You ain't getting my book.
Amen.
No, because I don't have any fear in me, and I know how I got rid of it, praise Amen. God. And if it ever even attempts to show up around me, I just stop right where I am. I say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I know you love me just as much as you do, Jesus. I receive your love. I have a father. I have a daddy. And I roll all my care over on you. And I know you will take care of it. Praise God. Amen. And just roll on over and go back to sleep. And if you wake up with fear around you, get up and get the book said, he that fears is not perfected in love. Now, if I have violated that commandment of love, in the name of Jesus, I repent of it. You reveal it to me. If necessary, I'll go make it right. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not having a spirit of fear in my life. You're not stealing my joy. No, sir. No, ma'am. I will not. If I have to come to your house, praise God. And repent. If that's what it takes, then do it. Make it right. You get it fixed. But the big thing is go before Jesus and confess it as a sin, not your problem. It's a problem, all right. But it is not excusable. You may think you had a good reason to violate the commandment of love. There's no such thing. Even if it was a good reason, you don't have any excuse. It is a commandment. You understand commandment? That is a direct order from the Lord of heaven and earth. The commander-in-chief of the body of Christ has given us personal orders and general orders to believe on the name of his son Jesus and obey the commandment as he gave commandment, which is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and strength, and your neighbor as yourself in that order. You don't go off and try to love your neighbor as yourself. You start off loving God with all your heart. Well, I just don't feel like I love God. He didn't say anything about your feelings. Who said anything about you? There's nothing in there about your feelings at all. We're talking about your heart condition. Amen. And when you begin to say, my Heavenly Father, oh, your word says, if I do those things that are pleasing in your sight, whatever I ask, I receive from you.
That's right.
Well, what's pleasing in his sight? Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor.
Amen.
Amen.
So you start off, I love my Lord. I'm commanded to. I say it by faith.
Yes.
Feelings will come and go. I don't have anything to do with it. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. In the name of Jesus, I release my faith. Jesus said, on that commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself, hangs all the law and the prophets. I love my neighbor as myself because that's pleasing to your sight. And I begin to confess it and get it up in front of my memory and work on it and stay with it and stay with it and practice it and practice it and work at it. And when you miss, repent. Repent right now. Repent. Make a move. Make a move. Repent. Say, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I don't need to be talking like that to anybody. Forgive me. Yeah, but you don't understand how that old ugly thing talked to me. Well, that old ugly thing doesn't have anything to do with your salvation.
That's right.
One way or the other. Oh, yeah, but Brother Copeland, that old bigot, you ought to have heard that old bigot. Huh? What old bigot? That one that talked ugly to me. When? 1939. Dear God, man. You talk like it is yesterday. Now that fear has been tormenting your life ever since that happened. And it is still working in your life. And the bigot's already died and gone to hell. And it's still working in you. Yeah, but he said I was a stupid so-and-so. Well, are you? No, I'm not. Well, quit believing what he said.
Amen. Amen.
Get out of it.
Amen.
Repent over the thing and get out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what happens then? Perfected, working, developing love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fears is not developed in love. Now, you got the answer right there. Keep working on it. Keep working. You got the principle. So now practice it, and 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 practice it. It'll develop. It'll work. The more you release it by faith, the bigger you get on the inside. You cannot say with your mouth, I love the Lord my God, without your born-again spirit rising up and getting bigger on the inside. It can't be done. Amen. It will rise up every time you say that. And the first thing you know, you'll be just driving down the road saying, Lord, I tell you I love you so much sometimes it just overflows in me. I just love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind and strength. And you're driving along there with a big smile on your face, and all of a sudden you hear the word of the Lord. Maybe for the first time in your life you knew what it was. And all he said was, I love you too.
Oh,
ah! God talks to me. He's been talking all the time. You've been so spiritually dense you couldn't hear it. Why? Because fear had its fingers in your spiritual ears. Amen. That's what happens. The love of God. Now, he goes ahead here in the fifth chapter. Look at this. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of the love of God. Everyone that loves him that begat, everyone that loves the Father, loves also the children. The children of whom? Those that are born of the love of God. Now, as you read on, we know we love the children of the love of God when we love God who is love and keep his commandments. For this is loving God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They are not hard to keep, because you keep them by faith, not by feeling. Well, I forgive. I forgive by faith. I forgive in the name of Jesus. And then 2 hours later, you see the very person that you just prayed over and just forgave, and something rises up on the inside of you, and you think, oh, dear God, I thought I forgave him. You did. You did. You did it by faith. Amen. You still have symptoms in your mind and in your flesh that came while you were practicing not loving him. And you'll have to put those symptoms down. And you just say, no, now shut up. I've forgiven him, I've forgiven her, praise the Lord. Now feelings, you just quit. Amen. Make a way. Make a purpose. Be purposeful about it. And if your flesh keeps giving you trouble, go tell that person you've forgiven them. Go tell them how much you love them. I tell you, I just love you by the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't mention anything about how they treated you. Doesn't have anything to do with it. And if they start talking about it, you just say, well, I just want you to know. I got to run. Bye.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now then. Oh, hallelujah. Let's look in the book of Genesis. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, the love of God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God, who is love, created the heavens and the earth. Love created all this. Compassion Himself created all this. Now go down to the 26th verse. And the love of God said, let us make man in our image. Let us make man in the image of love. After love's likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Because love will never, ever injure or hurt or bring pain. Amen.
Amen.
Over any living thing. Hallelujah. And he said, and he's creating man out of words of love. Man, be in the image of love and compassion. Man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all of the earth and every living thing in the earth. You dominate it with compassion, with love. Oh, hallelujah. And then, in verse 28, oh man, my goodness. Here this man stands, he's created in the likeness of God, who is love. He's not created to have fear. He's not created to have sickness. He's not created to have a curse. He don't know what a curse is, man. He don't know what die means. He is in the very likeness of compassion Himself. And he's filled. He's overflowing with love to the point that the fire of the glory of love that lights the heavens in the face of Jesus is flowing through him. He is as bright a fire, the fire of love and compassion. God is so full of love that he is ablaze in a fire with it. The scripture said he's a fire from the loins up and he's a fire from the loins down. The glory is so bright. Love is so big. Love is so glorious. Love is so compassionate, so overwhelming. That's the reason that he couldn't approach the human family anymore and manifest himself in their presence. Because the moment that pure, holy goodness is released
it will destroy sin. It will destroy death. It'll just, and it's gone, brother. I mean, it can't exist around him. And he had to keep his family at length and could not manifest himself in their presence. They couldn't look on his face any longer. They couldn't look love in the face. They couldn't stand that kind of compassion. It would absolutely fry you right where you stood. And he wasn't about to wipe him out. No. He's already made up his heart and mind. He's not doing without us. Amen. And that's the reason he would shroud himself in a cloud. And the cloud would be so bright you couldn't stay around it. Amen.
Amen.
He'd make a move towards this death-filled, sin-filled planet. And the mountains would shake and quake and burn and lightning would explode and go all over the place. I mean, he really, really had to control his love and compassion just to stay out of here. But then came Jesus. Why? To get it back. To get the blessing back. This thing that compassion had released on the human being. This love copy. This channel of compassion in the earth. What was the first thing love said? Bear fruit. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill up the earth. Subdue it. With what? An iron fist? No, no. Love it until it can't do anything but produce a garden of Eden. You love until this planet becomes the garden spot of the universe. You love until there's not one thing left on this planet but this garden that expands and grows. And he released this blessing. He released it on this man. And the man was just as qualified to walk in it as God, because he's just as much love as God was. He's just as much kindness as God was. He was just as creative as God was. He's not a subordinate. I heard one guy say one time, and it really tested my love. Ooh. Why, Adam wasn't none but a weed puller in the Garden of Eden. There were no weeds in there, dum-dum.
That's right.
Forgive me, I told you it tested me. You're not dum-dum. You're just ignorant. Well, see, that's the truth. The scripture said, brethren, I would not have you be ignorant.
That's right.
Amen. I skinnied out of that one, didn't I? But to hear somebody say something like that about love and love reproducing itself and call him just a weed puller in the garden? No, no. No, no. He was just like the Father. If there'd been any weeds there, God would have pulled them before the boy got there. Amen. Love does that, you know. Love will mow your yard for you when it hates to mow yards. I was out mowing my yard one time. I tell you, that is absolutely nothing to do. And I've been on the Rato Gloria. I said, I got an idea. Let's pour concrete all the way to the street and we'll just paint it green and be done with it and get it over with. Or cover it in rocks and it'll look like West Texas. We'll put some cactus out there. I couldn't get her to go far. She's still on the yard. So back there then, I'd come home and I'd get out there and I'm mowing this yard. Well, I don't like this. And I'm mowing along there. And I hear the word of the Lord come to me. When you finish mowing this, go over there next door and mow their yard. I said, are you kidding? I'm not going to do it. It's bad enough to have to mow this one. I'm not going over there and mow theirs. He said, when you get through, go over there and mow their yard. I said, Lord,
I mean, what are those people over there going to think? And look out the window, and I'm over there mowing the yard. You got to be kidding me. The Lord said, when you get through here, you mow their yard. I said, yes, sir. Just as quick as I get through here, I'm going to go mow that yard. And I got through with mine quick as I could and didn't even turn the engine off. Just run that little old mower across the driveway and just kept mowing. And he said, now set your foot on this ground and lay claim to that household for me. Well, I walked through that yard and I'm laying claim. It's the only yard I ever mowed in my life that I enjoyed. But the joy of the Lord came up in me in this one. And so I mowed it, you know, went on about my business, forgot about it. A few weeks later, a knock came on the front door. Well, I recognized this woman as my next door neighbor. And when I opened the door, I mean, she took off of preaching. She is preaching to me just as hard and fast as she can. And I'm saying amen just as loud and fast as I can. And I'm wondering what in the world happened to my next door neighbor. And she, I mean, I said, I called her by her name. I said, hold it just a minute. Hold it a second here. She said, okay. And I said, first off, I believe every word you're saying. I said, Gloria and I are in full-time ministry to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, she said, that is wonderful. Let me tell you what happened to us down at our church the other night. Now, I'm telling you, Brother Copeland. And she got right in my face again, and she went to preaching. They went to a little neighborhood Presbyterian church, and all of a sudden, a lay witness mission came to their little Presbyterian church, and just about the whole church got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now my next door neighbor is on fire for God, and she's decided she's going to win the whole neighborhood. Well, I didn't have time to do it. Somebody needed to win it. Amen. She started a neighborhood Bible class for all the little kids in the neighborhood. Hallelujah. Amen. What happened? Love happened. Love happened. By obeying God and releasing the love of God, then the compassion of God was able to move and see to it that she and her husband and her boys were in that church when that mission came in there. See, he knew he was going to do that. I didn't know he was going to do that. I had to learn not to argue. Just do whatever he says do when he says do it. Smile, because you're going to have more fun doing that than anything else you ever did. Because love sees to it. Now, what was happening there? The blessing went into operation. When I moved over there on that yard, the blessing of God went into operation, and that blessing began to move and began to function, because the blessing is compassion that was released on Adam in order to spread that garden all over this planet, ahead of the children that were to be born into it. He didn't plan on Adam and his wife having children and then have to go out and try to get that garden to spread. No, he intended for the garden to spread ahead of the family. The more children, the bigger the garden. Amen. That was the divine plan of God. It was not complicated at all until sin got involved. Now then, perfected love, the love and compassion of God. Let's look in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 5. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready? Romans 5:5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God
is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Now, that is not only at the time of the new birth. I want you to listen to me really carefully now. When you got born again, you were born not of corruptible seed, but by the word of, finish the sentence for me. The word of God who is love. This is the word of love. And the love word of God was the seed that was imparted into your spirit. And you were born again. And the fruit of the seed born in your born again human spirit. The word says you were recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away and all things became new, and the innards, the spiritual organs, I don't know any other way to say it and get over to you what I'm saying. You got physical organs. Where did you get your physical organs? The DNA you got from your parents, the seed that was sown, and you became the product of that seed, and you wound up with eyes, ears, and nose, and lungs, and all those different organs working in there and all that. Well, you were born of the Spirit of the living God, and His DNA is in your spirit, and inside your spirit there are spiritual organs. And there was imparted inside you love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, long suffering. All of those things are the attributes of love.
Amen.
They're in there. Well, what happened to you then when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Huh? He brought inside you. His love, His joy, His peace, His righteousness. Huh? Oh, yeah. It was in there. You were born of Him, born of His Word. You were a child of the love of God, born of God. But then the teacher was assigned to come and take up residence inside you and inside your physical body and give you overcoming blessing power. The power that was on Adam is the power that has come to live on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You remember that I told you the scripture said He's a fire from the loins up and He's a fire from the loins down. And He had to cloud Himself, shroud Himself with a cloud. They could see that fire at night. They could see it off out there, and they followed it wherever it went. The same fire in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that lights the very heavens in the face of Jesus. What about on the day of Pentecost? They heard a sound. It wasn't a rushing mighty wind. It was a sound that sounded like a rushing mighty wind. What was it? What was that sound? Could you have heard it only in Jerusalem?
No, no. You would have heard it anywhere on this planet. See, when Adam fell, all of the angels that God created to fill up this planet, to be an aid and a help and minister to those that are heirs of that blessing, all of those angels had to get up and get out of here immediately. Any of them that didn't leave are on the wrong side. They had to get out of here. That's when you begin to see the picture given to us called Jacob's ladder. Angels that were created to minister for men, to minister and help them with the blessing. They're ministers of compassion. They are ministers of God, sent forth to minister for those that are the heirs of salvation. Heirs of the blessing, heirs of the love and the compassion of God Himself. That's what's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Well, they had to get out of here. And on the day of Pentecost, they came back, brother. You can see it in the book of Hebrews. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? On the day of Pentecost, heaven poured itself out. Poured itself back into this earth, and the Spirit of the living God Himself came into that upper room, shrouded in a cloud. Not hardly. Huh? What came into the room? A noise? No. What came into the room? Huh? Yeah, it was the Holy Ghost. But they didn't say, hey, look, the Holy Ghost. Come on, help me with this. Y'all been here all week. Y'all know this, but now. Huh? Love came in. But what did they see? Fire. God in all of His blazing glory didn't even try to hide it. He didn't try to cover it. He came in there in all that power and all that strength, and He just walked right in and He sat on them. He just sat on them. And instead of burning them to a crisp, they just absorbed Him. And He moved right in on the inside. He said, this is my home. This is where I'm going to stay. I'm living right here. I'm bringing all of myself in here. I'm bringing all of my glory. I'm bringing all of my compassion. I'm bringing all of my love. I'm bringing all of my fire. I'm bringing all of the blessing. All of the blessing. All of the blessing. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, glory be to God forevermore. We've not received the spirit of fear unto bondage again. We have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, I love you, Father. I love you, Daddy. Oh, hallelujah. I have a Father. I have a Daddy. I'll never be alone again. And He's rich. Woo! And He has given me, He's given me checking privileges on the glory of God. Think about that. Why He's all I have to do is believe God, and He lets me in on the wealth.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. So that I can abound to every good work. Oh, yeah, but not Brother Copeland. You know, money will ruin you. Well, you know, now that's true. Now, the Bible does say that money ruineth the fool. It does. It said money ruins the fool. So the trick to that is, don't be a dumb fool. Amen. Brethren, He said, I would not have you be ignorant. You need to abound in this grace also. You were created for compassion. You weren't created to live in the threat of death. No. You were not created to live a life here on the earth just trying to squeeze by so I can get into heaven. And like Kelly said, when you get to heaven, you don't want to seem like you don't belong. You know? Amen. Like some dumb Texas hick like me and go to New York City and you just run over everybody there because you're just walking around there. Oh, man. Look at that. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. No, we'll go through the portals of heaven with the love of God aflame in our hearts, our minds burning with compassion, glory to God, where when you finally come to realize that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world, and I have within my bosom the very love that created this universe.
Yes. Yes.
How do you walk in that? How do you manage that? That scripture said, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. So what do you do? Same thing you do to believe by faith anything else the scripture has ever said. Amen. You go to the Word and you find in that Word that scripture that I quoted you tonight, 17th chapter of John, 23rd verse. Jesus said, Father, reveal to them that you love them as much as you do me. And so I just said, ooh, I receive that. I believe I receive that in me now. My Father loves me as much as He does Jesus. And I'd been saved for almost 6 years when I found it out. And I stood there in that my little old bedroom there in Tulsa, that little back bedroom. I mean, little old run-down looking place. And it didn't look run-down to me that day. I found that in the Word, and I thought, whew, I believe I received that. I received that. Jesus, I received that. If I receive that, that means I'm going to have to say it. Ooh. My mind said, who do you think you are to stand there in front of God Almighty and say with your mouth that God loves you, you sinful West Texas idiot? Now, if I'd have believed that, I'd still be living there.
That's right.
Or worse. I said, no. It's written in red, and I'm going to say it. Anything in red, I can safely confess. Because He is my high priest. I'd found that out.
Amen.
And so I began to say it. I said, Father, you love me as much as you do Jesus. I know you do because Jesus said so. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. So I said it again. And I said it again. And I said it again. And my knees quit shaking. And I said it again. And by this time, I'm walking around my little room, 3 or 4 steps this way, 3 or 4 steps this way. And I'm walking around in there. I said, oh my goodness, I believe I received that. I received that the same way I received my salvation. I confess this before God. My Heavenly Father loves me as much as He does Jesus. My. I receive that. And I put it in my mouth. And I kept saying it. And I get in my car and say, oh, Lord God, I'm going to drive this car today. And you love me just as much as you do Jesus. Praise the Lord. And you're just going right along with me. I don't have to get in here and say, oh, God, please be with me. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the world. Just get on in there and say, come on, Jesus. Oh, our Father loves us, doesn't He? Oh, hallelujah. And just get in the car and go. Amen. Well, I got to doing that, And finally, the Lord said, why don't you read the rest of that chapter? So I went back, got the 17th chapter of John, and started reading at the 24th verse. I had stopped at the 23rd. I got so filled with that that I forgot about the rest of the chapter. And I got down to the last verse in that chapter, and Jesus was praying and said, Father, reveal to them that the love wherewith you loved me may be in them. Mm. Oh, not that the Father was going to love me with the same love with which he loved Jesus. I'd already seen that in the 23rd verse. And I read it wrong a time or two. I thought I was reading the same thing again. But the Lord said, no, you're missing it now. Go back and read that again. It said the love, Jesus talking to the Father. He said the love wherewith you, God, love me, a perfect, sinless man. That love wherewith you love me may be in them. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. The very love that created this universe, that the very love. I have the equipment inside me now since I've been reborn. And now that the teacher and the guide and the leader and the power, the blessing himself is living on the inside of me to empower my spirit by his spirit. And has given me a commandment which has licensed me to use it. I can love you with the love of God. I have the equipment born inside me from the Word of God that has been developing in me now for 40 years. That love equipment is inside me, and as it has developed, it has flushed the fear out of me. Amen. And has given me this compassion and has authorized me to love you with the love of God. Now the whole church, particularly the Pentecostal part of it and the charismatic part of it, the Holy Ghost tongue-talking part of the church has been talking about this a long time and hadn't got the first clue of what causes it to work. Well, I just love you with the love of God. Don't cross them. You'll get the wrath of God. Huh? Yeah. Well, that's where you need to realize. Oh, God bless them. Amen. They're just little kids. Amen. They know they've been saved 37 years. They still don't know.
That's
right. Well, just go on in love. God's been putting up with them longer than you have. And you already know you've got the power on the inside of you to do it.
That's right.
Exactly. Hallelujah. I said my heart. Glory. Oh, I started to say hallelujah.
Yeah.
And come out of hallelujah.
Sure did. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. How I love you. How I love you. Well, that's even better than hallelujah. How I love you. Praise God. Amen. Now, in closing this, let me bring you to this place. Perfected love casts out fear. It said we have known and believed the love that is in us now. Now you have received it because you see it in the Word. I receive the love wherewith you love Jesus is inside me now, and by faith I receive that.
Yes.
Not based on my feelings, it's based on what Jesus said. And I pray the same prayer that he prayed, Father, and I receive it in the name of Jesus. I have it now, and I'm going to turn this loose. This is mine. I receive the fact that you love me as much as you do Jesus, and you are ready to reveal that to the world through me. By the blessing of Adam, which became the blessing of Abraham, which now through the cross has become the blessing of the church. Yes. Blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now I receive that. I receive your word that says the love of God never fails. We'll close it with this if you'll turn there. In 1 Corinthians, this will be extremely revealing to you. Extremely revealing. Amen. This has been misunderstood for a long, long time. Been a lot of good things preached about it. But until you understand the elements that we've been talking about tonight, then you don't you won't have the insight into this chapter that it takes for you to understand what was actually being said. In this, the scripture says, in the fourth verse, 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, the love of God never gives up or suffers long. The love of God is kind. The love of God envies not. The love of God vaunteth not itself. The love of God is not puffed up. The love of God does not behave itself unseemly. The love of God seeks not her own. The love of God is not easily provoked. The love of God thinks no evil. The love of God rejoices not at iniquity. The love of God rejoices in the truth. The love of God bears up under all things. It believes all things. The love of God hopes all things and endures all things, because there's no fear in the love of God. Huh? Did you pick up on that? See, we've already found out that there is no fear in the love of God, and the love of God casts out fear. And all of these things, all of that envy, all of that quitting, all of that other stuff is fear-based.
Yes.
Every bit of it is dependent on being offended. Jesus said, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Satan cometh to meet it and take the word out which was sown, because they became offended and they have no root in themselves. Well, you go to the third chapter of Ephesians, it says we ought to be rooted and grounded in love.
That's right.
And that'll stop being offended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here, he said, yeah, but now, Brother Coleman, that's the love of God. Well, what do you think I've been preaching about the last hour and 20 minutes here?
Yeah. Come on now.
Yeah, give it to him.
The love of God has been shed abroad, and I'm talking about this love right here is already alive in you. Not only what you got from being born again, and not only what you got from the Holy Ghost coming on the inside of you, but when you accepted it by faith, the love with which God loved Jesus has been released inside you. Now, you can't get any more love of God than that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to look at this now. The love of God never fails. So what do you do? How do you develop that? Well, you've already believed, you receive it by faith. Now you begin to confess this. The love of God is in me and I don't give up. The love of God is in me and I'm kind. The love of God is in me and I don't seek my own. The love of God is in me, and so forth and so on. You're confessing now by faith what you received from the prayer that Jesus prayed. And you can't pray that without the power of God moving on the inside of you. And I'll tell you right now, you start doing that, and if there is undealt with sin of violating the commandment of love anywhere in your life, it will begin to flush to the surface, and you'll know it, and you'll start to go, oh, dear Lord. Oh, I repent of that, Lord. Glory to God. Whoo, I have the love of God in me. I repent of that. And that's gone. It's gone just like that. And the fear with it. The fear with it. I said the fear right along with it. Well, when the fear leaves, the torment goes with it because the torment's in the fear. And if you hadn't got any fear, you don't have any torment. If you don't have any torment, the tormentor doesn't have anything to torment you with.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Now, here's the part that has been terribly misunderstood. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I don't have the love of God in operation. It didn't say anything here about you not having the love of God. It's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Right? Absolutely. But if you're trying to function by faith in manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit with unrepented violation of the commandment of love, then your tongue talking is worthless. Because it works by the love of God. And it's in there, but it's choked. Well, as you read down here, you will see, though I have the gift of prophecy. Isn't that a gift of the Spirit? And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and the love of God is not working, it is nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I just sow and I sow and I sow and I tithe and I tithe and I tithe. I even give my body. I mean, I volunteer every time the church is open. I do all these things. I mean, I work night and day in this church, and it just doesn't anything work. Brother Copeland, why? Do you really need me to answer that? Perfected love casteth out fear. And fear is the reason why these gifts are not functioning like they should. It's not because the love's not in there. It's because the love can't get to it. Fear is choking it. Well, you just keep coming on down. So you give in to the poor is not working without the love of God. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies. Well, now, all of a sudden, we theologically shift gears and move over into dispensationalism. Whatever in the Sam Hill that is. Well, you see, Brother Copeland, we used to need prophecy. Oh, you don't need it anymore, huh? Well, maybe we better start smoking what you're smoking, because I need it. The gift of prophecy, the manifestation of the anointing of prophecy, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Hallelujah. So what's going on here? Do you understand the phrase, in other words? That's pretty common with us today. If I talk in tongues, prophecy, knowledge, giving, tithing, without the love of God, it profits me nothing. Why? Because the love of God doesn't quit. And the love of God is kind. The love of God doesn't envy. And so forth and so on. And the love of God never fails. But whether there be prophecies, without love, they'll fail. In other words, he's just going through the same thing again. You try to prophesy without the love of God, and your prophecy will fall on the ground right in front of your feet. I don't care if it is true. It won't cause anything in the lives of the people that heard it, because they don't have any love manifested in it. There ain't no power there. It's just dead. And what else here? Well, whether there be tongues, without love, they'll cease.
Well, that's pretty obvious. I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love. It won't work. Well, sure, they'll cease. Now, here's the funny part. That happened. It happened in the body of Christ. It happened when the church of Jesus Christ got caught up in itself and it began to suffer for God. And it began to preach that God was causing the suffering. And they cut themselves off from the Jews. And they cut themselves off from the written word. They cut themselves off from the old covenant. And they had no knowledge whatsoever of God, His love, His compassion, His word. They stuck it up in monasteries somewhere and forbid anybody to read it. So what happened? It ceased. They quit prophesying. They quit ministering by the gifts of the Spirit. Well, after all, it all passed away. Whether there be tongues without love, they cease. Whether there be knowledge without love, it'll vanish away. For without love, we only know in part. Without love, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfected is come. Oh. When love, perfected love, is manifest in my life, I no longer see in part. I begin to see. Oh my goodness. And people have argued and fought small wars over this. And he just got through explaining the whole thing before he ever got down to it. But without the love of God, you can't see it. And without the love of God, you know good and well. On this side of heaven, why, you will never, ever in your life see any other way except through a glass darkly. Oh, I beg your humble pardon. The entrance of His Word brings light. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, in this day and hour, by the Word of God and by the Word of love, and fear is being flushed out of there and the glass is clearing up. Things are clearing up. And they should have been clear as crystal by the Holy Ghost for all of these years. And we're finally. So, well, you mean to tell me the Apostle Paul is saying he only saw in part? No, I didn't say that at all. Because he did not just see in part. He told you what had happened. If you don't operate, this church was not operating in the love of God. They were operating in the gifts of the Spirit and standing up there and claiming, thus saith the Lord, Jesus is accursed. And went blah, 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 blah. Just a big hoorah and a bunch of trash. And he said, you people, as long as you continue to act like children and there is a spirit of division among you, I can't teach you. I can't say anything. In other words, without the love of God, you can't see anything but in part because you're still childish, childish, childish. Amen. He started the letter off in that first letter by telling them what the problem was. And here is the greatest teacher of all. The great love teacher himself that said, when I come here, I cannot teach you the things that I wanted to teach you because you can't learn them. You are still carnal, and it's like teaching somebody that's not even born again. Well, sure, they saw through glass darkly. Amen. Can you see what's happening here? And he's teaching and training them right here. He said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I was just as selfish as all the rest of them. I thought as a child. But look at this. I heard my grandson preach a message on this a few weeks ago. And I'm telling you, he stirred me up. And I had never seen this right here. He said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't care how long you've been over 21. If you don't, by faith, put away childish things, they'll stay with you all the days of your life. You'll die just as carnal as you were the day you got saved. Boy, that's strong stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I put away childish things. And that's what he's teaching them to do. Put this stuff away. Release the love of God in your heart. Let's go for this thing together. Right now you're seeing in part. Right now you're hearing in part. You can't hear all I'm trying to tell you. You can't see all I'm trying to get a hold and get into your life. Because you're full of strife and division. You're still carnal, acting like, thinking like children, and just like mere unchanged men. But he's saying, come on, put away the childish things. For now, we see through a glass darkly, but then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am also known. And we just took our little theological pencil and we wrote in there just as soon as you get to heaven.
That's right.
He never said nothing about being in heaven.
Sure did.
He said, as soon as love begins to manifest in my life, then I know as I'm known. As soon as love is perfected in my life, as soon as that which is perfected is manifest in my life, the fear leaves, the love of God rises up on the inside me, and I begin to see face to face. Is that not what happened on the day of Pentecost?
Amen.
Well, we're not in the old church. The young church, and they're the old church. They're not the beginning church, and we're the end church. They started it, and we're supposed to finish it. It is all the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And now abides faith. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Woo, glory. I like to miss that. Whoa, glory. I knew you may not get anything out of this, but I'll tell you what, I am having a time of my life here. And look what he said. Look what he said. Look what he said. And I also, I will know even as I am known. Are you ready? He that loves knows God. We read that. That's one of the places that the Lord said read first. Now I know why he said read first, because I'm going to close on it. Amen. He that loves, and the word, the Greek word used here was ginosko, which means intimate relationship. It's the same word translated, intercourse. He that loves knows God. He that does not love his brother knows not God. And in this life was manifested that we might live through him. Hallelujah. Don't tell me I got to get to heaven before I know God. If I'm obedient to the love of God, I can know him right now. I already know him more intimately than I know any other person. I'll tell you, Glory and I walk in this thing together. We walk in the love of God together. It's just the most magnificent thing you can possibly imagine. When the fear is gone, you don't have to worry about your finances. Glory to God. I was laying in the bed one night, just big smile on my face, and I was just worshiping the Lord. I said, Lord, I just, woo, glory to God. I don't want to go to sleep yet. I just going to lay here and just meditate on you for a little while. And, oh, amen, glory to God. He'll let you just come on to the throne and watch him run things, you know, and just sit around and hang out with him a while. At, like Jesse's talking about throne time, and that's where I was that night. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Kenneth, I want to ask you something. I said, yes, sir. All this right down on the inside of me, see. You get fear out of there, you can hear it. So I said, yes, sir. He said, what would happen
if all of a sudden, all of your partners suddenly quit investing in this ministry, and all your income just stopped? I said, I don't know, and I don't care. I ain't thinking about that, dear Lord. Why do I want to think about that? That's in a realm I don't think about. No, he said, I want you to consider this, man. I want you to think through it. Son, I thought, if I didn't have any income, Well, I don't have any debt. All the property is paid for. All the trucks, all the cars, the airplanes, everything's paid for. I don't have any debt. All the land's paid for. We paid for that by faith, one step at a time, without borrowing any money. Oh, yeah, Lord, and I want to thank you right now because, you know, back there in the late 90s, you instructed me to build an electrical power plant here. I didn't even know you could do that, man. You know, it's almost like it's against the law to make your own electricity. And it's not. In fact, the law says if you make your own electricity and you make a little too much, they got to buy it from you. I thought, that's a good law. But I didn't have the first clue about how to build an electrical power plant. Are you kidding me? I didn't have any idea. It sounded good to me, though, because my electrical bill had gotten up, you know, where it's between $250,000 and $300,000. And God started talking to me about building this power plant. And I said, okay, in the name of Jesus, I agree with you. I'll build it. I ain't got the foggiest notion about how to build a power plant, but there's somebody around here that does. And I got to check in with my guys on staff, and sure enough, some of these guys, they didn't know right off, but they knew how to find out, and they got to checking, and we got to looking, and we got to believing, and God got to moving, and this happened, and that happened, and this and that and the other come around, and so now the power plant's in operation. And I thought, well, now how are we going to run this thing? I mean, what good's it do to make electricity if you have to buy the gas to run the generators? So we drilled a natural gas well, and God gave us a gas well. So now we could take the natural gas coming out of the well and put it in the generators. So we made our own electricity. And I thought, well, I don't have any debts, and I don't have any electric bill. And I don't have any water bill because the Lord has given us water wells on this property. Now, all that leaves, let's see, that's electric, my water. All that leaves, you know, is sewer and those kind of things. Well, no, because we got this place from the United States Marine Corps, and they had already built all of the sewage treatment plant and all that. All we had to do was believe God for about $35,000-$40,000. We rebuilt the motors in those plants and built one more section on there. So that gave us our own sewage treatment plant. I'm telling you, I am getting shouting happy right here in the middle of the night. And finally, I just shut up in the bed. I said, I know exactly what had happened. Nothing.
Amen.
Nothing. Gloria and I would just take our Bibles and head right off down the road. We know how we got this, and we just go get some more. We just go preach. Praise God. Just go preach. All we got to do is just believe God. You know, I really don't even have to believe God for the food on my table, because He ministers food for the eater. You know? Amen. All I have to do is agree to preach the word. Now, if I had set out to do that 30 some years ago, I would have fouled that up. I didn't even know it had happened. I didn't realize that this ministry at that point was self-contained. I didn't know it. I don't think about ever where mine's coming from. I just know I'm blessed. And I'm depending on that blessing. I realized back then the blessing of Abraham is on me. And I confess it. Well, the blessing of Abraham's on me. The blessing of Abraham is on me. And God said, build a power plant. Well, what do you want from a power plant? Well, I'll build a power plant. What do I care? Praise God, build a power plant. Can you see what he was doing? Amen. Well, now that'll get you excited. And now you think the devil can come into me and say, I'll tell you right now, if you don't get busy and start raising some money, this place is going to go broke and it's going to take you out of the ministry. Ha, 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 ha. I done heard that song and I know the last verse, we win. You can't frighten me with that. I don't have any fear in me, praise God. I mean, if somehow or another the government came and got all the land and got all the gas and got all the electric and got all the airplanes and got all the cars and took all my clothes away from me, I'd hide enough Bibles to where they never could steal them all. Besides that, I've hidden the Word of God in my heart. Praise the Lord. Gloria and I would figure out some way to preach the Word. That all of it would come back. Government or no government.
Amen.
Come on now. Amen. Why? Because the man of God is thoroughly furnished. The man and woman of God is able to receive God's abounding grace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because his love and his compassion and his authority is abounding in us. Therefore, we have no fear. I don't fear the government. I don't fear people. I don't fear the devil. I don't have any fear. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a way to live.
Amen.
And you can be the same way. You can be just as fearless. I'll tell you what, you can be just as crazy as the rest of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
You talk about a way to do business. But if you get to reading the Wall Street Journal, you'll come up with some cute plan. It doesn't have a thing in the world to do with it. But if you'll just stay in faith, just keep walking by faith. Amen. You don't have to be in the ministry to do this. Adam wasn't in the ministry. Abraham wasn't in the ministry. Isaac wasn't in the ministry. Joseph wasn't in the ministry. No, he wound up prime minister of the strongest nation on the face of God's earth because of the blessing of Abraham in his life. Be fruitful and multiply. All you have to do is be willing to carry out that Garden of Eden mandate in your life and see to it that the blessing is not only lived by but preached. And if you will preach that blessing, I don't care if you're in the ministry. I don't care if you're in the car business. I don't care who you are and what you are. I walked into a Chevrolet dealership. Gloria told you about the terrible old car that I had with the headliner hanging down in the back. Only thing of it is she didn't tell you the rest of the story. I was so broke. I had been driving the airport car. They loaned me a car, this company that I worked for. They didn't pay me nothing, but they loaned me that old car. And I was driving around this old beat up, terrible looking old Plymouth. That those of you that know airport cars, you know what I was driving around in. It's some old wore out car they keep on the airport to let people drive when they're looking for a place to go eat or something. And you can't even license the thing on the highway. Piece of junk. And that was one of my perks. Well, it came to, I lost her in a goose in a hailstorm, man. I didn't have any idea about God. I knew nothing about faith. Nothing. But you have to understand, my mama prayed for me all the time. And so God got in my life even when I didn't know it. And so I knew that I'm done here. I'm supposed to move to Little Rock. And I'm living in Camden, Arkansas. I'm supposed to go to Little Rock. And here, Gloria, her grandma lived in Little Rock. And so she decided she's going to quit college and go to Little Rock and get her a job. Well, ain't no way I'm staying in Camden, man. I'm going to Little Rock now, some way or other. And I did not have enough money to get there, and I didn't have any car. And I couldn't figure out what to do. And I worried and thought and thought and worried and worried and thought and thought and worried. At least I did have sense enough not to steal it. And I had less than $200. And I thought, man, no way in the world I'm going to ever get a car for less than $200. What am I going to do? And if I spent it all on a car, I couldn't have money to put gas in it to get there. What in the world am I going to do here? And I kept, now my daddy taught me better than this. Everybody taught me better than this. And I did it anyway. Couldn't figure out why I did it. I heard myself saying it and couldn't figure out why it's coming out of my mouth. What am I doing here? I went to that Chevrolet dealership and I walked in there. I've got $125. I had to keep a little bit for gas. And I asked to see the man that owned the place. And he came out there, smiled. And I introduced myself to him. And I said, sir, I have no idea why I'm doing what I'm about to do. I've never in my life done anything like this before. But I said, I've got to have some transportation. And I ain't got but $125. And you could see the you could see the look on the man's face. And I thought, oh, man, if this is not the stupidest thing, he's going to have my $125 and I'm going to be out standing on the street figuring out I can't even go on the bus. And he stood there and he looked at me. He said, will you trust me? And I thought, yeah, I guess so. I said, yes, sir. He said, come on. We got in his car and drove around in the back of that dealership. He said, Now, I'm telling you, you're going to have to trust me. I said, yes, sir. Like I said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I come in here to tell you I'll do whatever you say do. I never met that man. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what his name was. He took me around behind the used car lot, around in the back of the overhaul garage. And there sat old Yeller. This thing was a 1954 Chevrolet four-door Bel Air. It was chartreuse on the bottom. Those of you my age remember chartreuse and black and chartreuse and forest green. Ugh. Oh, me. And this thing looked like it had leprosy. I mean, that old chartreuse, old green, old, I mean, just old sweet pea green, you know, on the bottom. And man, it has faded out in places and it was the worst looking thing. And the top was forest something or other. Early Goodwill. The headliner, like Gloria said, is hanging down in the back seat. I did not want that car. I thought, oh, man. Oh, and I thought, well, I told him I'd trust him. Boy, here goes. That's the ugliest piece of equipment I have ever seen in my life. Dear me. He said, now, Copeland, he said, I traded for this thing. And he said, I gave the man too much trade for it. And he said, I no more than got it in here and the engine just quit. And he said, I wound up overhauling the engine and I never got the engine operating in the car and the transmission quit. He said, I have overhauled the engine. I have overhauled the transmission. I have put all new tires on this thing. He said, I've got three or four times what the car's worth in it, and there's no way I can ever get it out. Give me the $125 and you can have it. I thought, he's nuts. He is crazy. I don't care if the headliner is hanging down in the back. I bought my car and I got in that thing and I headed out on the highway towards Little Rock. I want you to know that thing run like a... I mean... And I thought, look at this. I just thought the guy's stupid. I found out over 20 years later. Oh, let's see, no longer than that. Probably 30 years from then. I found out that this man was president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in Camden, Arkansas. Now, I walked in there. I can see now what he was doing. God gave him an opportunity to get his money out of that old car by sowing it as a seed. He don't know me, but God knows me. And he knows one of these days it'll be a good investment.
Yes, it is.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I lost in a goose in a hailstorm when I came in there, but mama was praying and God was in charge. God was moving. I went to Little Rock. Guess where I was when I got saved? Little Rock, Arkansas, over on the north side of town. Gloria had gotten born again and didn't say nothing to me about it. And she'd just pray for me and all that. I don't hear nothing about that. We made up our minds. We got married. We ain't ever mentioned in this because her family come out of one church, my family come out of another one, and ain't no use even getting that started now. And so, it's about it. Well, I came home that night, had a brand new job, got a brand new furnished apartment, didn't have an old doggy car anymore, didn't have sense enough to keep that. No, I had to go in debt and get one that the headliner wasn't hanging down in. Stupid is, stupid does, you know. But came in that night, and I'm sitting there in my living room, and the power of God came in the room, and I shut my eyes quick as I could. If I ever open my eyes, I'll see Jesus. If I see him, I'll have to preach, and I'm not going to do it. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, if you don't get your life straightened out with me, you're going to the devil's hell. I said, I know it, I know it, I know it. What do I do now? And I heard my Sunday school teacher's voice down on the inside me. I said, that's old Lady Taggart. Now, it wasn't being disrespectful. All of us boys called her old Lady Taggart. We wouldn't promote. You know, in a Baptist Sunday school, they promote you like at school.
Yeah.
That's one reason we hated it, too much like school. And we wouldn't promote unless they promoted Miss Taggart with us. We liked her, we didn't like none of the rest of them. So they just promoted Ms. Taggart right along with us. We just went from one grade to the next, and Ms. Taggart was our teacher. And that's what we called her. I mean, she is born old. She's just old, man. And we called her old Lady Taggart, and she just smiled. And I could hear her voice. I said, that's old Lady Taggart. She said, boys, you have to ask Jesus to come in your heart. I thought, that sounds just as dumb as it did the first time I heard it. But I don't know anything else to do. And I said, Jesus, come into my heart. And he did. changed everything. Hallelujah. Thank God forevermore. I called Glory in the room and she came in and I told her what had happened and we started it together right there. That was in 1962, second day of November, just before 8 o'clock in the evening. The idiot died. The fool laid down and died the death of Calvary and was reborn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, give the Lord a praise and stand on your feet, please.